Hope you thought of those words. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. That's an important thing you understand, that that's doctrine. And that doctrine, if you understand that, grace is greater than your sin. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. That's good doctrine in the song. It's important we get songs with good doctrine. And that's good. That's very good. Let's turn to the book of Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 25 to start with. We'll be mostly in Psalms tonight. And I'm going to start just, I don't know how many weeks it'll last, maybe 2-3 weeks. We'll see. About God being good. The series is called The Lord is Good. And the first lesson is going to be patience will reveal his goodness. Patience will reveal his goodness. I think there's a huge assault about God's goodness. And people used to be just a little more honest and just say, you know, I messed up and things aren't good and maybe I don't understand some things or whatever. And nowadays there's many accusations against God very quickly. By the unsaved, certainly, but now by Christians. If everything doesn't go good and quickly. If you demand God to be on your timetable, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Amen. And so people think God's not good because look what happened. And God is good, and he'll be good. He was good a billion years ago. He'll be good a billion years from now. He's good today. He'll be good tomorrow. Amen. And if your things are going well for you right now, God's good. If things aren't going well for you right now, God's good. Amen. He doesn't change. And Psalm 25. I just want to give you a few verses that say he's good, and then we'll park in another psalm. Psalm 25, verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. So the Lord is good. Psalm 119, let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 68. Thou art good. And do is good. Teach me thy statutes. Psalm 119, verse 68. Psalm 136. Thou art, not only is God good, but he does good things. Psalm 136. Psalm 136, verse 1. I'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 145. God's good. One of the reasons is his mercy endures forever. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I learned to appreciate more and more. Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. He says it in the New Testament this way. He causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. He gives a person the air with which they curse him. Because God is good, and he's a good God. Now let's go to Psalm 73. So the Bible says God is good here. And let's read verse 1 through 3. Ready? Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Psalm 73, verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps have well nigh slipped, for I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. God, patience will reveal God's goodness. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that I would be able to exalt you tonight and that you would be shown to be as good as you truly are, Father. Now, my lips will never make you look as good as you are. And if I didn't say you were good, you'd still be good. But I pray tonight that you would help us to see your goodness and speak to our hearts. And I pray that you touch our minds. I pray you'd be speaking to all of us tonight. Help us to be unshakable in our belief of the goodness of God. Lord, you're amazing, you're wonderful, you're good, your mercy endures forever. You're patient with those who don't deserve patience, and your mercy is there, and your kindness and your love. Nothing can separate us from it. And Lord, many reasons you're good, but I pray that we would understand some patience in these thoughts and see your way that it's right. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Psalm 73, we have a man named Asaph. Asaph was he's an important guy. He was basically the choir director and the chief musician for the nation of Israel. He was from the Levite family, and he was a priest who they gave to lead the music so they would praise God in the house of God and sing music, and he would lead the sacred music in the temple and in God's house. And he was this man who was in charge of music for God's people, for God's nation, for God's house. Very important man, a very godly man. And he starts off his chapter with, "The Lord is good. And truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." And so he says that, and he says they're good. But then the next verse totally changes his tune. "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." And he immediately says, I almost left God. I almost forsook God. And he talks about a couple of reasons why. He says, verse 3, because of the wicked. He looked at the wicked and he got very, very jealous. He got very angry at how good they were doing. He said, "I'm not doing very well, and they're doing good, and they're wicked." First of all, he notices their prosperity in verse 3. It says, "For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Verse 12, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." So he saw their prosperity of wicked people. And by the way, that's still true today. That's still true today. All right. So we see that. Secondly, we see they seem to be worry-free. Verse 4, "For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about." Look at that. They look like they have no worries, seemingly. And they see that. And he sees this, so he's getting angry. Now, let me illustrate this to you a little bit. All right, I want some eggs. Bring me my eggs right now. I want some eggs. Come on, now. I need my eggs, honey, my eggs. All right, here's my eggs. Oh, man. Let's bring that up here. I want eggs. This is gross. You're a terrible cook. I want those. I wanted eggs. Let me see those eggs there. Who wants some eggs?
Not me.
This is nasty. Nobody wants her eggs. She's a terrible cook.
No.
Nobody. Nobody wants these eggs? They're scrambled.
I want them.
Really scrambled. Who wants eggs? You want eggs? You want some eggs, Chili? All right, let's give Chili some eggs. Can I do this? Mom's back here.
Wait. How old is that?
Oh, they're brand new.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Now, is she a bad cook? Okay, you can go back. You can start cooking those again. We'll eat them after church. Been drinking again? Wait a minute. The reason the eggs aren't good right now is because of my impatience. Because the eggs aren't done yet. Now watch Asaph, as we remember that for a second here. He sees them, the wicked are prospering. They seem to have no worries. And by the way, you look at them. Look at the commercials. You look at the stars walking up during the whatever awards and coming out on the red carpet. No worries, having fun. Look at that life. What a lifestyle. Oh, they're partying. They're having fun. It looks like that for a while. Verse 6. Watch this. They're proud, and God's not doing anything about it. And Asaph's saying, you know what? I am so discouraged. My feet, I was about done because I saw this. Verse 6, therefore pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as with a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. And they speak loftily. and they set their mouth against the heaviness, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out unto them. And they say, how doth God know? And where and is there knowledge of the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. They're proud and arrogant. It seems like they're doing great. And he says in verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I almost quit on God. I almost gave up. I threw in my hands when I looked at the wicked and watched them prosper, have no worries, mock God, and nothing bad happened to them. And he says, I am doing all these right things and putting forth all this effort and going to church and missing football games and reading my Bible and praying and tithing and embarrassing myself by witnessing in front of people. And look at that. They're having all that fun. They're prospering. And I'm struggling. That's what his thoughts were. He says, verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. By the way, sometimes when you serve God, things go bad. And he said, I'm being chastised by God every morning. I'm having a terrible time. And look at the wicked. I went through all of this transformation in my life for nothing. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say thus, I will speak thus. Behold, I should offend against a generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Some of you were mistreated by somebody, and that person who mistreated you went on and seemed to be just doing fine. Nothing's happened to them. The eggs are not cooked. Their egg's going to get cooked. See, there's an end to things. Now, go back. Look at his thoughts there. You just read it. Look at verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as have a good, clean heart. Here's the guy who said, I almost quit on God. I said, I was saying, I washed my hands for no reasons. The wicked are doing great. I'm suffering. I'm plagued, he says. You ever feel plagued? Snake bitten? Horse bitten's bad, too. Snake bitten? You feel like Murphy is a demon that has surrounds you all the time, and he has his laws that make everything, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. And you say, why? I'm serving God. And how come the wicked person's doing good? They're athletes. They're actors. They're politicians, a whole lot of them. And they just seem to be raking it in and doing great. But in the end, you can say, truly, God is good. Why? Well, watch verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Their end. How many of them have to commit suicide? And they find in their body multitudes of drugs, legal and illegal. But they were smiling on screen. They looked happy on screen. I want to say, he understood their end. Watch what it says. And not all rich and famous people are wicked, but there are many. Surely, verse 18, thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. How are they brought into destruction as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when awakest, so, Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked with my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast set before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me up to glory. Whom am I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is my strength and my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. I went to lunch one time, man visited our church, very sharp, I mean, big, muscular, strapping guy. And met came to church and came one time. I called him. I said, "Let's get together." We went and met at a restaurant, and he couldn't wait to tell me all the amazing thing. He had a beautiful young wife who was way younger than him, and he was talking about his traveling the world and all his business dealings and da 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 da, and how successful he was, and just let me know just how good things were going for him. He was a Christian, you know, but a wonder from God, but was doing real well anyway. And boy, he wanted so bad to tell me, you know, he's just seen his car he drove up in, and then, well, I drove up in one of my cars. And luckily, I drove up in it, because it made it. And that's a good thing. And you know what? It wasn't long in our conversation. Just the Holy Spirit gave me a couple probing questions. The man's head bowed, put his hands in his head, and started sobbing, and said, "I'm a complete failure. I'm a fallen man, and I've done wicked things, and I've completely ruined my life. But the facade's there." You know what's an amazing thing to me is young people don't know. If you don't know this, can I just tell you this? The adults who have been around and talked to rich people and been around people in our society, you know a whole bunch of them are medicating themselves. I'm talking people you think are got it all together and happy and have a lot and have everything together. You know either they're medicating themselves with alcohol, drugs, or fake medications. Our country is a miserable country when they're not medicated and entertained. Unplug the power, take away the pills, and they will be hopeless. Really, entertainment's a way of escaping their emptiness. But Asaph had to wait until he suddenly went into the sanctuary of God. That's why you go to church and God reveals things to you. And he went to church and then I understood their end. And I said, "I have got God. And he holds me by the hand. And those people are on slippery places. I'm not." And he said, "I see the end of things. I see what happens in the end when the process is finished." He came to the conclusion that God was good afterward. When I, verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. He was so discouraged. But then he was fine when he saw the whole process. That's the problem. "God, where's my eggs? I want them now." You're not a good God. "Look, my life, I've been serving you and I'm not married, or I've been serving you and I'm having this problem. My finances are still messed up. I'm still having health problems. My marriage still has problems. I'm still don't have friends at school and I'm serving you, God." Wait. God is good, but you have to be patient until he's done with his process. The kid who drops out of school is much more happier than the kid who's had his nose to the grindstone is getting good grades. Check back at 22 and 32 and 42 and 52. Okay? God says, "I have a process. I am in control of your life. The steps, if you're serving God, the steps of a good man are ordered by..." And by the way, I'm not talking about those who are living wicked and say, "Why did this bad thing happen? Why did God let me get divorced?" Because you're a terrible husband and you married the wrong person. And I'm talking about that stuff. I'm talking about you're doing the right thing and things aren't going great and you are struggling and you're saying, "God has not been good to me." Wait. Be patient. "He that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him." In the end, he understood this. In the end, he said, "God is good." Remember, the first verse of the chapter, God is good. Why? He realized it throughout the process. God was good to him. So he wrote a chapter about how good God was, but in the middle, he talked about how he was looking at the short term and said, "God has not been good to me. I've been chastised and plagued and troubled, and they're just free for all and having fun. But God was not done with his process, so God did not seem good." He did not seem good at that point. Joseph did not see God as good in the middle of being thrown into prison again and again and being falsely accused and being sold into slavery. But God's process wasn't done. And in the end, Joseph said, "Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save much people alive." The process was finished. The eggs were done. He said, "Oh, you are a good cook." But the eggs weren't done. And because we're so impatient, and we got to have everything done now, and I've been doing right for 2 years now, and I'm still struggling. You must be patient to find out how good God is. You must wait. You've got to keep doing right, and keep doing right, and keep doing right, and keep doing right, and keep doing right. And when the process is done, you will look back and say, "Wow, God's good. I've been through this so many times in my life." I said, "Lord, there's nothing wrong with this. Saying, Lord, I'm doing right here, and it's not going well for me. But I'll keep doing right and trusting you. And God will bless you." Let's look at Lamentations. A little forward from here. If you go forward from Psalms toward the end of the Bible, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Lamentations, chapter 3. And verse 25, "The Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." God needs to be able to complete his work. Philippians 1:6, "He who began a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ," Philippians 1:6. Paul was confident that God began a work, he would finish the work if they would keep on doing right. So what do? You say, "You know what, God was good yesterday, he's going to be good tomorrow, I'm going to do right. Wow, I'm doing right, but this process sure isn't going very good. But Lord, I trust you. I'm going to keep doing right and trust you." Why? Because God is good. He's not a bad God. He is not unrighteous to forget your labor and work of love, the Bible said. God is good. Many of the person I've known who were in a relationship they shouldn't have been in, and they just said, "I've got to break this up, and I don't know if I'll ever find the right person. I'm going to be miserable, and I'm just going to have my heart broken." And they went and broke up the relationship, and everybody said, "Oh, you terrible person, you did this." They knew they did what God wanted, and it looked like they were going to be single for a long time. And those people, many, many times I've seen God bring a much more amazing person, and they look back afterward and said, "That would have been a disaster. God was good to them." Because God is good all the time. I want to say, we just need to wait for God's processes. Let's let him finish the eggs instead of demanding the eggs right now. And then see how they taste. And then see, you'll find out God, all of a sudden, not only did he make you eggs, but he made you bacon. Whenever bacon is involved, it's goodness. And he made you hash browns. Brought you out a little bit of orange juice with it. He brought you out some biscuits and gravy also. And some cheese and those eggs with little chunks of ham in there. And some salt and pepper on it. And your eggs were good. You found out she was a good cook. Go, where's she at? Go. But you know what you found out? God does exceedingly abundantly above. Those who stay faithful to God, even when it seems like it's not good, but they say, "God's good. I don't know what's happening. This doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to keep on doing right." When they get done, after a while, they look back and say, "That turned out better than I thought." Because God is good. And Asaph, when he sat there and mused on it and said, "God is good, truly God is good," then he said, "God is my portion, and God holds me with his right hand. and it's good for me to draw near to God. I've got God in all this crazy world. See, but you have to let, if you want to find out God is good, you may not demand your timetable prove it. And many people jump out early and say, right now, I own it. See, if you show me the blessing, I'll serve God. But I've got these other plans. It's going to be awesome. Better check out who's telling you to go the other way than God's way. And is that person reliable? Maybe he's a father of lies. You'll find out God's way is always better. And I'm just talking, what about for the next billion, trillion, zillion years? I know zillion is not a real, it is for me and kids. It's good. God is good. God is good. But you got to wait till his process is finished. Jesus, boy, they mocked him. If you're the Son of God, take yourself off the cross. Who just hit you? Ha ha ha. Wait till the process is done, guys. He's coming out of that grave. But he was a man of sorrows for his lifetime. Acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. His friends scattered. All of his believers disappeared. People didn't believe him when he said he's raised from the dead. Everything looked like he was a complete failure and like God wasn't good to him. And he said God would save him. Let God save him now off the cross. He's hanging on the cross. He said God is good to him. Wait a minute. Process isn't done yet. Resurrection day's pretty good. Sunday's coming. But you got to wait to the end of the process. Then the eggs are good. Then the eggs are good. Let me take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. One area we should wait till God's process is finished. As you look around in the messed up world and I look around in the messed up country, I wouldn't say the world is as messed up as a country is sometimes. Our country is forsaking the Lord, unfortunately, while revival's going on in many places in the world. You say, man, we're gone too far. The nation's messed up. The world's getting too messed up. No. You know what the Bible says? Just be patient. Why? Not because the world's going to get fixed because the politicians are going to figure it out or because people are going to get better. No. We are okay with the world and where it's going because we know that Jesus is coming. Look at verse 10. It says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. Even so, come Lord Jesus is the prayer of the New Testament. And come back and just be patient. But the world's going bad and God's not bringing revival. He might yet, but if he doesn't, even so, come Lord Jesus. Be patient until Jesus comes back and fixes the world. James chapter 5. Verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. The guy who plants his seeds, the guy who's waiting for his fruit from his vine, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Be patient. When we rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, then a new Jerusalem comes down in Revelation 21, and we have a new heaven and a new earth, the former things are passed away, and we're living in heaven forever, you're not going to fret too much about what's happened in this old messed up world. Don't get too attached to it, by the way. You're just passing through. This world's not my home, I'm just passing through. Don't get too attached to this world. Yeah, you're getting attached to something that's not going to last very long. You're giving all your investment. You're paying $1 million for a hunk of meat that's going to rot someday. Spend your time and money and effort on something that's forever and something that matters more. Listen, and don't worry. Jesus is still in charge and he's still coming back. So be patient. That's the word. You'll find out God is good if you have patience to wait till he reveals his goodness, because he's going to be good to you. When and where, I don't know. The eggs are cooking. He's the cook. I know you know what we want to do. Microwave them! No. Don't microwave eggs. They turn to rubber, and that's not good. How many of our microwave eggs? All bachelors, raise your hand. And listen, I want to say this. What's wrong with that? Listen, just be patient. You want to find out how good God is? Be patient. And let God finish his process, and don't demand, why aren't things good right now? Christianity is not measured in days or weeks or years, but it's measured in decades. Just stay faithful to God. And then you'll find out God's good if you can be patient for the process, like Joseph had to be. Let's pray. Lord, I pray to be patient people, Lord, as we just kind of jumped real quick into Asaph and Psalm 73, how he got in so much trouble because he just looked in the middle of the process and said, it's not fair. May we not be so foolish. Thank you, Asaph came out of it. Thank you, you opened his eyes and revealed their end and showed him that you are good. You're so good, Father. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you, your scripture reveals this to us. Thank you, we can see that you're going to be good to us. And you're a good God. You're not unrighteous to forget our labor of love. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. In due season we'll reap. But Lord, help us not to get mad and angry at you in the middle of runny eggs and never get the eggs cooked and get the good meal and see how good you are. I pray tonight for patience for your people. Help us all, because we're not very good at this, to just trust you and just keep on doing right and wait for the process to finish and not get too discouraged because people who aren't following you might be blessed and doing good for now. We thank you for your word on this. Thank you for being a good God all the time. May we see it. And may the devil not pull us away from that, because in the middle of things is not going well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.